Kim, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Have you ever watched a movie from years and years ago? Let's go with a comedy. And you say to yourself, boy, this is Some Like It Hot. This is considered to be one of the funniest movies of all time. Everybody's so funny in it.
It still holds up for me, Some Like It Hot.
See, I'm with you. I agree.
100%.
However, don't you think if you showed it to your kids or if I showed it to my kids and said, we're going to sit down and we're going to watch one of the most renowned comedies of all time, at the end they'd go, when are we going to see that movie? Because it's not Some Like It Hot. Even though you agree and I agree, I wonder if generations beyond will agree with that.
Well, it's funny you say that because generations might differ in what's funny and what isn't.
Right.
But you know, too, that you've seen movies that you saw when you were younger and you see it again and you're like, how did I like
right.
it? Some
right.
Like It Hot, to me, totally stands
agreed.
Up.
Agreed. Well, guess who's here? Mark Caro, former writer for the Chicago Tribune. And now, are you a bon vivant? Am I reading that correctly?
I'm a bon vivant. Are That's bon exactly vivant? My business cards say Mark Caro, bon vivant. And it has the phonetics pronunciation on there, too.
Well, Mark can help us all answer that question. Is It Still Funny? That's a series that's running at the Music Box Theater tonight. We'll explain more now. Hi, we miss you.
Hey, well, I'm still around. I'm happy to see you guys and hear you guys and to hear all of you out in Radio Land as well. Hello. Yeah, tonight, 7:30, the Music Box, we're showing Airplane! The idea, I'm hosting a series that's called Is It Still Funny? Mm-hmm. And this is something I just wanted to do for years because I think there's such a huge difference between watching a movie at home, coming across something like Airplane on cable, and then seeing it in a great theater like the Music Box, crowded, everyone laughing their heads off.
It's funnier.
And it's just funnier.
Contagious.
And also, it's just like, and a lot of us have this thing where we have kids and we want to say, oh my God, you have to see this movie. It was the funniest movie of all time. Now, I had this movie idea before I had kids, but I've gone through this where you show them a movie, like you were saying, and they're like, oh, this is like really, really slow. And I'm like, boy, I remember the laughs coming boom, boom, boom. Comedy changes in ways that dramas don't. You could watch The Godfather right now, or you could watch, you know, Citizen Kane for that matter, or a lot of the classic dramas, and they will play pretty much the same at home, and they'll play pretty much the same when you watch them. You're going to be moved in the same ways. But what makes people laugh changes, and the pacing of comedies changes, and it's like that river that's never the same twice. And plus, once you've seen the comedy, then is it funny the second time? Sometimes
sure.
you could watch a comedy again and you'd laugh even harder the second time. And sometimes you're like, you know, I heard all those jokes once and that was enough.
I don't understand the pacing, and here's why. If you look at the earlier days of radio, for instance, and you hear any of those classic shows like Jack Benny or Bob Hope or Fred Allen, the pacing was razor fast. It was
right.
so fast, so rapid fire. Then it slowed down a little bit
right.
with television.
Right, screwball comedies, the 1930s, the whole thing with Howard Hawks, Bringing Up Baby, His Girl
yeah.
Friday, is there like boom, 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 boom. Ooh, I hit the microphone.
You know why, though? It is because of the microphone. On radio, you don't want any dead air. And no one's seeing it. They're just hearing
go.
It. So you don't want the dead air. When it moved to television, it was able to breathe a little bit because you had something on the screen to accompany the funny.
Right. And even on film, I mean, so we did this, we launched the series in April. We did 4 weeks in a row. So it was like April 19th to May 3rd. And the mm-hmm. movies we did were National Lampoon's Animal House, Blazing Saddles, Duck Soup, and There's Something About Mary. So we went
great choices,
you know, late 70s, early 70s, 1930s, and 1990s. And definitely the pacing, like Duck Soup, Marx Brothers is boom, 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 boom.
Marx Brothers is like Airplane. Their pacing is similar to Airplane.
It is. And Marx Brothers influenced early Woody Allen, which also influenced Airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, Animal House, we watch that now, and that movie has had the reputation at the time of being this big, broad comedy. John Landis, oh my God, no subtlety with him. You know, he did Blues Brothers later. But you watch it, and you're like, oh, this is kind of subtle. It's kind of, it moves like sort of a classic film. There's a lot of character stuff. There's a lot of plot and story in there. It's not boom, 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 boom. Blazing Saddles also, the stuff that held up in Blazing Saddles remarkably was all that racial stuff that sort of when you show it to your kids, they're shocked by the language
yes.
in it because they were so much more upfront with it back then. But I mean, you could imagine, you know, Cleavon Little as Obama in that town in Blazing Saddles, whereas the stuff where you have Mel Brooks as the governor ogling his chesty secretary, I mean, those songs go, those scenes go on forever, you know, and you're like, oh, this part is not good.
Do you think, and this has been a debate forever, that if somebody came forward today and said, I'm going to make this movie Blazing Saddles, that no studio would green light it? They'd go, absolutely not. We're not making a movie like that.
Well, that's kind of been the conversation of after. So what we do is we show the film, and then afterwards I lead a discussion. And what's been really cool is that just about everyone has stayed for the discussion because everyone likes to talk about comedies and comedies that they love. And one of the things was always like, and people also, I give out these little comments cards. They could rate it on a scale of 1 to 5, a 5 being, you know, even more hilarious than I remembered, and 1 being, how did anyone think it was funny? And then you get sort of a score. So I can tell you like the rankings of all these things. But people are always like, this couldn't have been made today, or this scene wouldn't have been in today. And there's always that sort of measuring of what our standards and society are right now and what holds up and what doesn't. I mean, Seth MacFarlane just basically did his version of Blazing Saddles with that Million Ways to Die in the West, which I did not see because it sounded horrible.
It's, you know what? It's funny. It's not great, but it's got some good laughs in it.
See, that would be more in the Was It Ever Funny series. Oh. But maybe it was funny. I don't
know. I agree with you on
that. I've heard that some people think it's funny. I'm not dissing Seth MacFarlane, who I do find irritating, but maybe he's funny in this case. But, I mean, that's a case where, and, you know, Quentin Tarantino makes his movies, and there's a lot of that, you know, racial language in there, and he gets away with it. In a mainstream comedy put out by a big studio, would someone let someone, all the stuff from Blazing Saddles go through without notes of, you got to remove these words, or, I think it would be tough.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to know if it still stood the test of time, like Blazing Saddles and Animal House, because it seems like we want comedy faster now.
We do, but I have to say, seeing those movies in the theater, I thought that they all held up. The one that scored the best, which is interesting because it's one that nobody saw in the first place when it came out because I didn't have any 95-year-olds in the audience, was Duck Soup. And Duck Soup, just in terms of my numerical score, that one scored the highest. Animal House and Blazing Saddles were really close together after that, and they were still between 4 and 5, so this is like very high up, and they did very well, and there are a few scenes in both of them that just make you cringe. There's this kind of date rape scene in Animal House where the girl passes out, and
yes,
Tom Hulce Pinto has the devil and the angel arguing on what he should do with her, and nobody now would think that was remotely funny, and you could feel that kind of
yeah. Did you look around and see people kind of
You could just hear the lack of laughter at the other one in that is when they go to the Black Roadhouse to go see Otis Day and the Nights, and it's, they're sort of like the only white people in there, and the people there are sort of flesh and their switchblades and stuff, and it's kind of funny but really stereotypical too, and so you're a little bit kind of like nervous, like I don't know that I approve of this anymore. But everything held up. But like the one that did worst was There's Something About Mary, which I thought was interesting because the most recent one. It did the worst in terms of people showing up. So I don't think there's as much maybe nostalgia. Maybe movies from like 1998.
It's not long enough.
It's 18 years, you know. I thought it was long enough. I reviewed that movie and I thought it was funny at the time. It's just as meandering. I said it was meandering then. It still meanders all over the place. The thing that was striking about that one was how raunchy it was considered. I mean, all of these actually, Blazing Saddles and Animal House too, but specifically Something About Mary was considered so raunchy and envelope pushing, and the younger people who came to see it for the first time were like, this is like a PG-13 movie.
Sure.
Like, I don't get it, you know. I don't get what the fuss is about. There are these long, long character scenes of Matt Dillon chasing after Cameron Diaz, and then you have like the Frank and Beans and the hair gel scene, and that's pretty much it for raunch in that movie.
But Mark, you know, it, other than comedies, you can look at other films like Midnight Cowboy is a good example. When Midnight Cowboy came out, it was rated X, believe
Absolutely.
It or not. It was a rated X movie. They have shown that version, the full uncut version, on regular television, an X-rated movie. It
Seriously?
Just shows that, yeah.
Yeah, it was re-rated R at some point, but it definitely was considered... Yeah, that was really pushing it because of the content of that movie. It was not something you'd seen in mainstream films. I mean, that's the 60s, the late 60s. You know, that was 69 and won Best Picture. So it's the only X-rated film to win Best Picture. You can't even get, you know, X/NC-17 rated films. Even now, even like 20-something years after they came up with the NC-17 rating, society, Hollywood, whatever, still has a problem with accepting the idea that there are movies that you're going to rate for adults only.
Sure.
And because it's going to be porno instead of just, you know what, we don't think kids should see it.
Yep.
So
yep.
So that changes.
Mark Caro's here. If you want to see the films we're discussing and Mark's discussion afterwards. Musicboxtheater.com has all your information, but tonight is the night. And what time is it, at 8 o'clock?
It is at 7:30.
7:30. Don't come at 8. You'll miss the first half hour. 7:30 at the Music Box Theater. More in a moment. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's us. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder, along with Mark Caro, our friend Mark Caro, former Tribune columnist and movie reviewer. He loves movies, so he's got an interesting idea. Show classic films and then discuss whether or not those films are still funny. Is it still funny? That's the name of the movie series at the Music Box Theater. The next round begins tonight with a showing of Airplane, one of the funniest movies of all time.
Yes. Yeah, so we did four in April, May weekly, and now we're going to do them monthly. So tonight is the kickoff of the big monthly in the big... They also started them in the small theaters, but we sold out the small theaters.
Did
so
you?
We're doing it in the big theater, and which is cool, and it's great to be in that big theater. I love being in there. And there are also
theaters were big. That's
no, absolutely. And also, there are actually theories about how, like, your old theaters, the laughs roll over the audience differently, like these newer stadium seating because of the configuration. Supposedly, it sort of messes with the dynamics of laughter. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm no scientist on these things. But so that's tonight. And then a month from now, on September 7th, we're going to do so. Airplane was the most requested from the previous series.
Was like it?
They had little ballots and said, what else would you like to see? And we just got so many suggestions, because there's so many films that people want to see again on the big screen that are comedies.
Right.
And Airplane was the most requested. So we're like, all right, we're going to do that by popular demand. And then the next one is more of a curveball. We're going to do Harold and Maude.
Oh, it's great.
Which was,
Ruth
for
Gordon,
me,
going to
be really interesting, because that was my favorite movie of all time by the time I got out of college. I think I'd seen it 10 times, and I have not seen it since. So I've really been like actually scared to go see it again. So I want to see it again and see, does the dark humor hold up? Do I still kind of get all weepy at the end or choked up by those Cat Stevens songs? So it's less of kind of a
laugh,
laugh, riot.
I don't
think
I have seen it.
Bud Cort is a young guy who's kind of obsessed with death.
Yes.
And Ruth Gordon is an older woman who he befriends. And just a classic movie.
Early 70s
such
counterculture.
A great movie. Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I like that many people requested it. That bodes well for the future of comedy, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And it's also one of those films that I think that there's that sense of, wow, that would be really interesting to see. Like, a lot of people want to see Airplane because they just remember how hilarious it is.
That's going to hold up, I believe, too.
Was
it? I think Airplane's going to hold up, because every time you come across it on cable, aren't you still sucked into it? And don't you still laugh all the time?
I hope so. I would think so.
I mean, that one's going to hold up well. I'm curious to find out.
And it's interesting, too, because I had this sort of theory on, like, a lot of the films that hold up, the reason is because you like the characters. Like, Bringing Up Baby is a film that didn't even do that well at the time. And when you watch it now, I mean, the jokes are funny, but you just so love Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn playing off each other. It's just a wacky movie. It's just zany. But there's nothing character-based in Airplane at all. It's just this nonstop assault of jokes. But they're funny and they're corny and they're everything else. And
I think more jokes per minute, I think, than any other movie I've ever seen anyway. I don't know about in film history, but it's just so jam-packed with jokes. They're nonstop.
Something that a lot of these Is It Still Funny films have in common is that they spawned much worse versions of them.
Sequels, like, after, or remakes?
Just influence. Like, after There's Something About Mary came out, there were so many horrible, vulgar comedies that I had to review, like
American
Along Came Polly and all this stuff. It's just these bad. And you know, Animal House was the first R-rated comedy smash, really. Well, I take that back, because Blazing Saddles was too. But sort of campus comedy, like Porky's and that sort of stuff, you can trace
Porky's
to that.
Porky's, my God.
You know, Blazing Saddles kind of opened the floodgates for a lot of these parody comedies as well. But Young Frankenstein was great, but then there are other ones that weren't so great. So
what's the age of the audience? You mentioned there were some younger viewers.
Big range. I mean, Duck Soup had one of the delightful things about Duck Soup is there was a 7-year-old girl just laughing so hard throughout, and I think it just tickled everyone. You know, some of the movies were rated R, so the 7-year-olds didn't come to that one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's been a pretty big split of people who had seen them when they came out, and then people who have never seen them on the big screen, or people who have never seen them at all.
Mark, you noticed that there's something different in the laugh pattern with some of these movies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so then in October, I think that we're going to do Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And like that one for me, and I think Airplane for a lot of people too, you would say that in a way it's like seeing your favorite band's greatest hits. Like I've seen Holy Grail so many times, and I do think it's still funny, but it'll still be interesting to see it in a theater with a crowd and all of that. Animal House, there's that scene where John Belushi's coming down the stairs in the frat party, and mm-hmm. you have Stephen Bishop singing,
"If I Gave My Love a Cherry."
If I Gave My Love a Cherry, and he's singing, "If I Gave," I won't sing it. You've had me sing on the show before, and it did not go well. And Belushi stops and makes that Belushi look. And
big eyebrow.
The eyebrow.
And in the screening at the Music Box, the audience erupted. And the reason is because everyone knows he's about to take that guitar and smash it. Mm-hmm. But when that movie came out, you didn't know he was going to do that. And so when the movie came out, the laugh was a beat later. It was when he actually smashes a guitar. But now there's that anticipation of it. It's
right.
Like you're looking forward to it. And so you see it in a different way. And so it's a different kind of, again, the river changes. It's yeah. never the same.
Do me a favor. I know you like doing this with comedies, but I think other genres would work well. I'll give you an example. To me, Rosemary's Baby is the best scary movie right. of all time.
Oh, is it still scary? It would definitely work as a series.
But I wonder if today's audiences, after seeing movies like Saw and you know that kind of thing, where it's just serial killers chopping people up, if a movie like Rosemary's Baby, which is so much more subtle, if that would still be considered scary or not.
That's scarier because your mind is sometimes
scarier
than what you're seeing on the screen. Yeah. And The Ring is a movie that has honestly, that one scared me.
It's very scary, yeah. So
but,
I wonder.
But you could see kids now going like, this is so slow. I don't know.
I mean,
they would say it, they would
family.
Text it.
But it would be interesting to see how those held up. Or like something like The Exorcist. I mean, that was a Best
right.
Picture nominee.
Does
that, you know, how
The
does
Haunting
that
of Hull House.
Right.
Oh, isn't that
That's
great?
That is a scary movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait Until Dark.
So, yeah. So would you consider doing this with other types of movies? Because
sure.
I think that would work for you.
Sure.
That would be so good.
If Music Box people are listening, just let me know.
Real quick, since you have no longer been at the Tribune, you're working on a book or two, right?
Yeah, I'm working on a bunch of different projects and still reading the Tribune. There are some excellent stories in there, like that pig farm one today. Good job, David Jackson. I actually have a book about songwriting that's coming out this fall that I did with Steve Dawson, who's this wonderful musician at the Old Town School of Folk Music and also is in a band called Dolly Varden and plays out in town with so many different people. He's just out all the time. Beautiful voice. And he has these very innovative, creative songwriting classes where he'll give you songwriting assignments and say, write a song that uses this sort of music theory trick, like relative minor, major minor keys or something like that. Or do one that uses a cliched phrase that you write it around. Or write a song for the Monkees, as if you were hired to write a song for the Monkees.
Cool.
And
great.
I take in the class and I enjoy doing it. It's just a fun thing to do. And so we decided to do a book, and it's actually became a book about songwriting that has a bunch of these assignments, but also this long dialogue about songwriting and you know, how it works, and like, do you need to write lyrics first or music first, or do you need to know music theory? Do the songs need to be about you? Is it important for you to be able to perform them competently? Just every question that we could think of, we sort of do it in the sort of like, it's like Hitchcock Truffaut, the dialogue, but it's two people you've heard of a lot less. So
when does this come out?
So it's going to come out, I think, in October at this point. It's called Take It to the Bridge, Unlocking the Great Songs Inside of You. I will happily come back with Steve when it comes out.
All right.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. So I'm happy about it. It's we've been actually working on it for a while, and this was a way to finally get it done. And I think it's pretty cool.
Good. We're looking forward to that. And if you want to see the films we've been discussing with Mark Hero, the series is called Is It Still Funny? And it opens up, the new round opens up at the Music Box Theater tonight. That's a 7:30 start. Go to musicboxtheater.com. The information's there. Great to see you again, Mark.
Great seeing you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. A quick break. News is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.